Hey everybody, Mike Lawson with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have CU Today's Frank Diekman talking about today's headlines, RDC2, NCUA settlements, how to get love in DC, and an excellent credit union TV spot. So check it out. I was like kind of chatting with you and various people in the industry about industry headlines, and you wrote a great column yesterday about just kind of the RBC2 and how Metzger was spotlighted and we'll talk about some NCUA settlements and whatever else you want to talk about, whatever else is whatever is perking up there at the CU Today offices. So I would like to dive into the RBC2 because your column really focuses on actually Rick Metzger's comments and stuff. I thought it was pretty telling of what occurred.
Yeah, I thought that Mr. Metzger offered a nice perspective on this issue that has been hotly debated by credit unions, that has been a source of divide between two of the other board members, and to some degree a source of divide between Mr. Metzger and Mr. McWaters as well. Mm-hmm. But I thought he provided a nice perspective in that there's not to borrow too much from Shakespeare, but it was much ado about nothing to some degree.
A little bit.
And that is that there's only 16 credit unions currently affected, and this rule doesn't even go into effect for 3 years.
Yeah.
So those 16 credit unions have 3 years to make portfolio and balance sheet adjustments that could mean that zero credit unions are affected in 3 years. In addition to that, you have just about every credit union is exempt from this rule anyway because they're under $100 million.
Right.
So I just thought that it was an interesting, little bit bigger picture perspective around risk-based capital. Mm-hmm. The more interesting thing, which hasn't gotten as much play, is that NCUA made very clear that supplemental capital rules are coming in the wake of this. And that will affect a lot more credit unions and be of far greater interest. So that hasn't gotten the headlines, hasn't gotten the discussion, but it probably should.
Yeah, it will. It'll rear its head soon enough. And I thought, because NAFQ and a number of other people, they want some legislation to kind of have the transparency and to overlook this type of stuff. And I thought Metzger had a really cool thing in there. He said, we've looked at it and we've stopped and studied, haven't read our preambles and rules. They really want us to stop and bury. It's like they've stopped and studied it, it's been almost overkill, sounds like.
To some degree, there's been a lot of stop and studying going on. Obviously, credit unions were able to get this, at least this piece of legislation introduced, and to their credit for that.
Sure.
We'll see what happens, though. I think that the agency will respond and say, look how much we have stopped and studied this. It's Washington. How much is theatrics? How much of it is really meaty substance? It's difficult to tell.
Indeed. Hey, let's talk about something else NCUA related. The Barclays and Wachovia settlements for $378 million total. Not too shabby. What does this mean for credit unions?
What it means for credit unions is that NCUA has been successful in recovering significant losses and significant amount of funds that were invested. But what it also means is, much like the RBC proposal, credit unions still aren't going to see anything from these proceeds for another 5 to 7 years.
Oh, really?
NCUA has said that there's other people in line on the NGNs and NCUA guaranteed notes, et cetera, who are ahead of credit unions. So it'll be 2021 or so before credit unions really start seeing some return on those much dreaded assessments that they had to pay in recent years.
Yeah.
It's obviously good news. We'll probably see additional settlements. All that money will eventually, portions of it will come back to credit unions on a prorated basis, but not anytime soon.
Okay. But it's good to have that in the works or in the plans for future years to allocate it to something else that will benefit the member ultimately, I would hope.
Well, it was the member's money in the first place.
Right.
So it's the member's money that had to be, it went to bail out these corporates. To me, to be honest, in a bigger picture story, it's an interesting that so many settlements are being paid without an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, that we have really a great train robbery that occurred in the middle of the 2000s here, the first part of this decade, and no one's being held accountable for it, and probably no one ever will. And, a guy robs a convenience store, gets $20, he gets, a year in prison, maybe longer.
Yeah.
Guy, robs the country and gets nothing. So it'd be interesting to see if there's ever anyone held accountable. I would doubt.
Well, he gets money. How about that?
Yeah, that's true.
here's a bailout for you. Anywho, all right, we could digress on that for years. How about the one of the, I thought one of the good observations that you in your column was how to get love in D.C. How do credit unions get love in D.C.? It was all based on your attendance at the NAFCU caucus a few weeks ago, and how at the hotel there were three other organizations kind of vying for the government's attention, and how credit unions are constantly doing this, and it's just this tug of war. And you took it from like a, you know, a representative's perspective, like how many times a day are they bombarded with people who want to get their attention? But you know, but the good thing is though, credit unions seem to get an upper hand here. They seem to get a little bit of love from our representatives.
It is. It struck me every time I'm in D.C. at any credit union meeting, including GAC, which may be a large meeting by credit union standards, but is not a large meeting by Washington standards.
True.
And I am struck anytime I'm at congressional caucus or at GAC, just in those couple of days that you're in town, by all the other groups who are there making the very same requests of members of Congress and their staff. Mm-hmm. I was struck again by the fact that it was just in one hotel for caucus, and there were three other groups meeting at the same time. You could, if you read their agendas, very similar agendas.
Yep.
And you know, I think it's testimony to the strength of credit unions and, in fact, mm-hmm. the size of their PAC, that they're able to get as many speakers as they do to give them 10 minutes even at their various meetings. So the credit union voice and credit union dollars are certainly heard in Washington, but that's just 3 days out of a 365-day year. And you know the amount, you wonder why nothing gets done in Washington. There's just so many special interests, if you will. Credit unions are certainly one, tugging in every direction.
So I think the message here is, and from what I hear from folks at CUNA, folks at NAFCU, and other associations, and even the media, is like, be consistent in your messaging, be consistent in your conversation with your representatives, so your name is always top of your head.
Yeah, I think what credit unions probably do better, first, they have been more consistent, but where credit unions probably differentiate themselves from some of the others is, while we were just talking about D.C., credit unions are probably more effective in the district and in the states. And that's where they turn people out mm-hmm. and get in front of their congressman or senator when that person's at home in the district or in their state.
Yep.
That's probably one reason you also see the respect that is given to credit unions.
Yep. Indeed. All right, sir. You said you wanted to have, you had a couple of topics that you wanted to chat about.
Just some larger issues that I think credit unions need to be watching. Certainly RBC was one.
Yep.
Another is the CFPB and what it might do to overdrafts. That's a pretty important issue. Overdraft revenue is a big revenue stream for credit unions, but not in addition to that, it's important to a lot of members who, you know, like it or not, manage their finances that way. And they like being able to know they can write a check or make a payment and it won't bounce.
Right.
So how the CFPB acts there is something to really keep an eye on. I think security and data is another issue that maybe gets beaten to death, but it's just become so critical. We have our item on CU Today about how inexpensive it is to buy member data. You can just go online and buy their personal financial data. And then I think the overarching theme that is a theme of 2015, it will be a theme of 2016, yeah. has to do with the fact that while credit unions are reporting robust numbers,
yeah.
those are industry numbers and not reflective of more than half of all credit unions, which are somewhat stagnant. We right mm-hmm. now are running a promotion in which we're looking to partner with just one credit union, and we're going to offer them through Roy McKinnon some expertise in marketing and branding.
Oh, cool.
And just the credit unions that have applied for that already, their stories are kind of heart-tugging and wrenching, and
yeah.
they want to grow, and they're struggling with it. So I think that's an issue that is largely overlooked when we look at Washington. You know, everyone's so focused inside the Beltway, but there's some outside the Beltway issues that are pretty critical as well.
Yeah, I'd like to see that story told more often as well, because we keep on hearing about the success of credit unions and the growth and the loan growth and all that type of stuff. What's happening on the other side of the coin? So I'm glad you brought that to light.
Yeah, 3% of credit unions account for 58% or something in that range mm-hmm. of all lending, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting story when you start to peel back the numbers.
Indeed, a little lopsided there. Hey, all right, to wrap up, let's wrap up on a lighter note here.
Okay.
You pointed out in your column today the ORNL TV spot, which was just classic, and it's a fantastic ad. But you made a point, though, because a lot of credit unions spend lots and lots of money on just, hey, this is our loan rate, or this is the value that we provide you, or you should trust us, that type of message that really kind of gets lost out there, whereas the ORNL TV spot really kind of is so simple, and we'll show the video for everyone to see it. But I mean, I just want to get your perspective on it, since you had a great.
You're absolutely right, Mike. A lot of credit union advertising. If you're advertising around rate or trust us, or you know we're good people or quality service, you might as well just go shout that out the window and save money. Right. Because it really has very little effect. It's just more white noise in the background, and it's very difficult to be heard. And what ORNL did so effectively, and the reason I highlighted them, was they used a very simple graphic. I won't explain it because you're going to show it. Yep. Very simple display of the concept of why you should get a mortgage there. And it really, you know, keeps you, most people when you're watching a commercial, reach for the remote. And this is one of those, wait a minute, hold on, don't grab the remote. Let's see what this is about. Commercials, and it's very effective.
Yep.
If people don't watch your advertising, it's wasted advertising.
I saw it in your column. I was like, at first I went, okay, what is this? What's going to happen here? And then it held me all the way through. It was very, very
powerful. It's the power of simplicity and differentiation.
Indeed, indeed. And their budget was probably next to nothing on this thing too.
You could have filmed that spot with an iPhone.
Exactly.
So well done.
Indeed. All right, Frank, anything else to add before we wrap up here?
No, Mike, I appreciate being a part of the show. There's a great deal going on in credit unions. It's been thrilling to be a part of it, and thank you for letting us share our voice.
You're welcome. Let's get you back on before the year ends wraps up, and we'll get a little 2016 forecast from you.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks again, Frank. Take care.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.